This is Emily from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to today's message.
Take your Bible, if you would, turn to the book of Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. Good to be back in the Lord's house. Thanks for being here. Acts chapter 3, verse number 19, there is a statement here. We're going to get to the context of it here in just a little bit. But there's a statement made in Acts chapter 3 and in verse number 19. And it says these words toward the end of the verse. And when, so the inference is that it's going to happen. You just got to be ready when it comes. That when, the second part is, the times of refreshing come. And I've learned over the years in serving the Lord that there are times of refreshing. There are times that we've even feel and sense in ourselves a desperate need for a refreshing. I'm going to talk here in just a bit about some days, some times that God did some refreshing in some people's lives. The main refreshing that we're going to talk about is the issue of salvation toward the end of the message. But what we do know is that when Jesus shows up, when Jesus, the time of refreshings come. And then it says in the end of the verse, so these times of refreshing come in the what? Presence of who? Of the Lord. So these times of refreshing as human beings come, they come in the presence of the Lord. And when you understand this, one of my favorite parts of one of the verses in the Bible is that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And for those of us that have walked with the Lord for many years, those of you, and you'll see this, if you're a younger believer and you're here, that you'll look back many years into your Christian faith and your Christian walk, and you'll remember those days where Jesus, those moments when Jesus showed up in a great way, and you knew it was as if Jesus was standing right there. Now, I assure you that there's a lot of times he's standing right there and you didn't even recognize, and this is part of the issue that we're going to talk about in the book of Luke here in just a few minutes, that Jesus showed up, but you didn't realize he was present. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there I am in the midst, that I'm right there. So what we do know is that every time we gather together as a church, every time we gather together as a congregation, the promise of Jesus Christ that if we're doing that, if we're gathered together in his name, that he is there in the midst. Not if we're having a show, not if we're running some circus around here, he doesn't guarantee he'll show up. But if we gather together in his name, and that certainly is the reason that I'm here today, and I'm quite sure the reason that the vast majority of the people that are here today is because we want to come here and we're gathered together and we're seeking after Jesus Christ. And so what we know is that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and that is these times of refreshing that they will come when, and the when is the big factor. So I turn, if you would, to the book of Luke, and we'll be back toward the end of the message to the book of Acts, chapter 3, if you want to put a marker there, offer an envelope out of the chair in front of you or whatever. But I'd ask you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 19, and we'll pick up this very well-known story that I'm sure over the years I haven't preached as much as I should have. The prophecies in the Old Testament was that, behold, your king comes riding upon a colt, the foal of an ass or the foal of a donkey. And that one of the prophecies was that when their king, when their the Savior would come, that he would come riding into town at some point on this foal of an ass. So in chapter 19, verse number 28, Jesus is coming up on the crucifixion. In fact, if you know that it's not too terribly far away into the near future, and the lamb, they always presented the sacrificial lamb just a few days, 4 or 5 days before it was to be killed. That was the Old Testament law under the Passover, that they would get the sacrificial lamb. We already know that Jesus is the Lamb of God, come to take away the sin of the world. But they would take this lamb and they would pin it up for a few days prior to the Passover, that it would be inspected to make sure that it passed, that it didn't have a spot or blemish on the thing, that it was the right kind of sacrifice. And so when Jesus is coming into town, this coincides perfectly with this period that they would take these lambs, set them aside, and that they would be monitored in a sense for up until the day that in fact they would be killed. Passover in the Old Testament, when they were in bondage in Egypt, that God told them, like, this is the last, you know, plague that I'm going to do, and then they're going to let you free. And so it's going to be the death of the firstborn. Now, here's how you avoid that the firstborn in your family is going to die. That you take a lamb, God gave them very specific instructions what qualified, and then I want you to kill this lamb, and I want you to take the blood of this lamb and do something special with it. But they were also going to roast it. They were going to eat this lamb. So they were partakers. They were eat the lamb, but they also would take the blood. And he said, I want you to strike this blood upon the sides and the top of your door, and the people that are inside of homes where the blood is on this framing of your door, those people will be spared from the judgment of losing the firstborn. They had to take this on faith, just like we do. That God's like, you know, here's the plan, here's the program. In the New Testament, the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, come to take away the sin of the world, and that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that this blood in the Old Testament on this Passover, it was a picture of the real Lamb of God, which is Jesus, that was going to come and actually be the real Lamb that saved us from our sins. But it still was an act of faith that they had to believe, you know, is this true or not? I mean, this sounds kind of bizarre, isn't it? That we take this lamb and we're going to slay this lamb on this particular day, and then we're going to get inside the house and everybody who's in the house is safe. So they had to respond by faith in the Old Testament, just like we respond in faith. They looking forward to the Christ, we're looking back at the Christ, because if you go all the way back to even to Adam and Eve and really Abel, we find that this whole walk was an issue. It's all about faith, that we got to believe that God is who he is. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So in this walk of faith, we just believe that God is who he said he is. Listen, and I've said this over and over and over, not without evidence. To believe something with no evidence is foolishness. There's ample evidence that this Bible is historically accurate, geographically accurate, geologically accurate. It's scientifically accurate when it talks about science, and it is prophetically accurate. So this book, we can trust this book because it has proved itself to be true. But still, it is this walk of faith. And so you take this lamb and you're going to kill it. You're going to put the blood there and you just got to be in the house. And that night, the death angel did come in, and every family that wasn't underneath of the blood, so to speak, that they lost their firstborn of animals, these cattle and things, and also of the people. And so when you read this Passover, because all this stuff was a picture and a type of the real that was going to come. So Jesus comes in this triumphant entry, that in a prophetic fulfilling prophecy that their king would come and he would be riding into the city of Jerusalem, just as we're about to see take place. So when you get to chapter 19 and we pick it up in verse number 28, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when it was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount Olives, called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord has need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why you loose ye the colt? So this is a good question. You know, why are you taking my car? Right? And they said, The Lord has need of him. Now, this is a response of faith, I think, too. Like, if somebody comes in your driveway, and they're just like, hey, why are you taking my car? And they go, well, the Lord has need of him. And, you know, I stop and ask myself that if the Lord really needed my car, would I be willing to let the Lord take my car? I suppose if I really knew and believed that the Lord had need of my car, now, you don't need my car, all right? So today, but you see, you with me? Because we were studying this past couple weeks in the ministry training class, and it's like, this is odd. I mean, you know, that you're like in your house or whatever, and you look out, and somebody's stealing your donkey. And you're like, hey, what are you doing? Taking my donkey. And they go, well, the Lord needs him. And you're like, cool. And there's a preaching message here, I'm sure. What if the Lord wanted my life? What if the Lord wanted me to move to go serve in ministry? What if the Lord wanted my kids for his service? What if the Lord wanted, could the Lord have your donkey? That's not the message, but maybe it is. And they said, verse 34, the Lord has need of him. They brought him to Jesus. They cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, which is just outside the city there, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Now, Jesus has been doing miracles and healing people every place he's going. He's drawing multitudes and sometimes multitudes and multitudes of people. He's healed the sick. He gives sight to the blind. There have been demons cast out of people. I mean, Jesus' fame has spread far and wide. In fact, at one point, the religious leaders said, if we don't do something, all men are going to believe in him. So Jesus comes there on the Mount of Olives. He's on this donkey as the prophecies and the fulfillment of the prophecies. And the crowds, like, Jesus is in the house, you know. And they begin to throw their garments on the ground. And they're laying branches on the ground as Jesus is coming, descending down. And he's going into the city. And the crowds are going wild. We're such a fickle world. Because 4 days from now, today, Hosanna, tomorrow, crucify him. But they're going crazy because the healer's here, the one that fed 4,000, the one who walked on water. And Jesus is riding into the city. Verse number 38, the people in verse 37, and when they had come even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Tell them to calm it down, right? And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I mean, this is just one of those days right there. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. And the fact is, the Bible says that he wept over it. Why would Jesus weep? I mean, this is a time of great joy. In one of the Gospels, it says that they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. But the fact is that even in this great day that we look back and we normally call in our Christian times of celebration, Palm Sunday, when they were, I remember as a kid, they would sometimes at Palm Sunday, they would give us palm branches as an external sign, you know, and just thinking about them laying these things on in front of Jesus as he rides into town, and they're yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, and Jesus, he's grieved. Why? But he's grieved, he's weeping. Like, Jesus, wouldn't you be fired up? Listen, if you were, like, coming into town, and people were going, yeah! But Jesus is weeping. Because the fact is, in the book of Matthew, as he recounts the story, as Jesus, the crowd, the multitude's going crazy because Jesus is coming into town, and somebody says, like, who is this? And the response that he gets is, well, this is the Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Like, what? Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. So they're like, the people are going crazy, you know, in one sense, in fulfillment of the prophecy. Jesus is riding into town. People are excited, yelling Hosanna. They're excited to God. But when you say, like, who do you believe this guy is? Well, he's the prophet, Jesus the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Like, even then, like, they're missing it. Can you just listen? That it's possible even to go to church. It's possible to grow up in church. It's possible to go every Sunday to church and be excited about the things that Jesus does, but yet you miss the fact that he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And to think that this whole multitude are just going berserk. I mean, Jesus, he was like doing his ministry, and he's not wanting people to tell about some of these miracles that were done. He's like, you know, don't tell. Some of them he would tell, don't tell anybody. Because it wasn't like Jesus walked into town and he's like, yo, Jesus is in town. Why don't y'all come over here? No, no. That wasn't Jesus at all. He's very humble. His ministry, in one sense, you know, seems obscure, but yet at the very same time, he drew multitudes. But it wasn't because he was trying to draw a crowd. They weren't doing, in a sense, big advertising campaigns. Hey, Jesus is going to show up. You know, next Sunday, he's going to be preaching here. No, Jesus just did ministry everywhere he went, and his fame was all throughout the land. But it's entirely possible. It's entirely possible that you can appreciate all that Jesus has done. As Gandhi said, I like your Christ, I just don't like your Christians. That it's entirely possible to appreciate Jesus for being a good person who delivered the word of God and yet miss the fact that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Even the Muslims would think that Jesus did some good things. But they wouldn't agree that he's the Christ. And Jesus weeps. He weeps over the city. As one old preacher said, he weeps over the city because everywhere he looked, he found a reason to weep. When he looked back, he saw how the nation had wasted its opportunities and had been ignorant of their time of visitation. In fact, that's what Jesus is going to accuse them of. You don't even know what time it is. Like, here is the Christ, the Messiah, the time of your visitation. Like, Jesus showed up in your city, in your day, at this very moment, and you didn't even realize that the Christ, the Messiah, was in your presence. And the old preacher said that Jesus had reason to weep because every place he looked, he had a cause for it. If he looked back, he saw how the nation had wasted its opportunities and how they had been ignorant of their time of visitation. If he looked within, he saw spiritual ignorance and blindness in the hearts of the people. They should have known who he was, for God had given them his word and sent his messengers to prepare the way. So if he looked back, he saw things to mourn about. If he looked within, he saw things to mourn about. If he looked around, Jesus saw religious activity that accomplished very little. The temple had become a den of thieves. The religious leaders were out to kill him. The city was filled with pilgrims celebrating a festival, but the hearts of the people were heavy with sin and their lives with burdens. When Jesus looked ahead, he saw a terrible judgment coming because they missed the day of their visitation. Jesus is riding into town. He looks at the city and he weeps. It's only one of two times in the scriptures that we read about Jesus weeping. The first one, Lazarus, his friend, was dead. And the second, we find him weeping over Jerusalem, saying, verse 42, "If thou hadst known, even thou, even you, at least, if you would have known at least in this thy day," what was this day? It was one of them Acts 3:19 days when the times of refreshing come in the presence of the Lord. But he said, if you had known at least in this thy day the things which belong unto thy peace, you could have had peace today. But now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round, keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in this area of Jerusalem one stone upon another. Why would that happen? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Let's speak very frankly here for just a minute. You know, we look around and there's a lot of people in here this morning. Last Sunday, I don't know, I didn't see it. They said they were parked all the way down by the sign, people wanting to get in here to church because something's going on. I don't believe I'm the first preacher that ever walked into this town that was a legit man of God. I think there have been many and are even today several men of God in this town that love Jesus as much as I love Jesus. But there's a unique opportunity going on today, and if you're a part of our congregation and you don't see it, you're just not paying attention. Because God's doing something. Not in another state. I'm talking about right here. That this is a day that God's particularly working in Adams County to reach us, to get the gospel message out. The time's short. And people have an opportunity today that they're not guaranteed even 5 years from now. I started thinking about times of refreshing for believers in the scriptures, and I just began to jot down a few, and then I maybe got a little bit carried away. Adam and Eve were at a time of needing some refreshing when they needed a covering for their sin shame. Noah needed a time of refreshing when he needed God to shut the door of the ark so he could survive the flood. Abraham desperately wanted a son. Sarah needed God to take away her barrenness. She needed a time of refreshing. Jacob was in need of a major blessing to get his life on track. Moses needed God to spare his life from the Egyptian post-birth abortion policy. The Israelites, they needed a day of refreshing when God would come through for them to provide deliverance by the parting of the Red Sea. The day that he gave them water out of the rock, when he gave them manna from heaven and clothes and shoes that would last for 40 years. Joshua needed the walls of Jericho to fall. Because when you think about this, that when these times of refreshing come, the evidence is that there is a refreshing that is needed. And that these refreshings that we need, or what we need in the moment, varies depending on the person and depending on the individual. Now, all of us are in need of salvation, but what we see is that there are times in my life, just like there are times in your life, that like, I need a fresh touch from the Lord. Now, New Testament Christianity, we understand that we are renewed, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So the goal of God is that we would, even though we go through struggles on the outside, that we would be able to get a daily renewal from the Lord to get us back going. In fact, it is the renewing of the inward man in a Christian that helps us to keep going when things are really hard on the outside. But what we find is that throughout the scriptures, there have been these times when God showed up for his people when they needed him desperately in the moment, and God proved himself to be faithful. Like when the Israelites, he provided the parting of the Red Sea, the water out of the rock, the manna from heaven. Joshua, he desperately needed the walls of Jericho to fall down. That Rahab the harlot, who became a believer, who needed grace in the eyes of her city's enemies. Of Gideon, who he needed God to show up to give him some visible evidence to confirm his faith. Samson needed God to show up when he did his last act in fighting the Philistines. Daniel for sure needed God to show up when they threw him down in the den full of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego needed the Lord to show up the day that they needed deliverance from the burning fiery furnace. Esther needed God to give her favor before the king. Ruth needed a loving, godly husband, which he gave her. Elijah needed some angel's food, a long walk, a cave, and a fresh encounter with God to get over his discouragement in ministry. Elisha wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Jeremiah needed the strength of God to overcome opposition. Nehemiah, he needed God's touch when he needed God's plan and presence to lead a group of oppressed people. David needed God's help to kill a giant. The wise men needed a star to direct them. The shepherds needed good tidings of great joy. Joseph and Mary needed direction on where to go to avoid the murder attempt on the Christ child. The woman at the well needed living water so that she would never thirst again. The multitudes needed healing, physical healing of leprosy, lameness, paralyzation issues, blood issues, blind and deaf, and the list goes on and on. Some people even needed demons cast out of them in the day of their visitation. Some people needed food to keep them from fainting, as we will not send them away lest they faint in the way. Lazarus needed to be raised from the dead. The disciples even needed at one point some money to pay taxes. To which Jesus, because the presence of Jesus, he's like, go down, catch the first fish, open its mouth, and there's going to be a coin to pay your taxes. Because Jesus even cares about the fact that some of you that are here today, that you have financial problems. There are some here today that are in need of physical healing. There are some here today that are in need of being brought through discouragement. There are some that are here today, you're a multitude of reasons that most all of us, as we walk through those back doors, we came with a need. Some of you, you have kid issues, health issues, marriage issues, work issues, financial issues, backslidden issues, and if ever more you needed God to show up today in church, you need it. The widow needed her son back to life. She got it. The disciples needed money to pay taxes. All of us need teaching about God, teaching about God's will, God's plan, how we should live, how to pray, etc., and God provides it for us. The woman caught in adultery needed forgiveness and salvation. Zacchaeus needed a life-changing encounter with Jesus personally. Many needed rest from their labors and from heavy burdens, which is why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I began to make this list, and I began to realize very deeply the fact that these days of refreshing came to God's people at just the time they need them, because Jesus just knows exactly what we need in that moment to help us keep going. Peter, he needed to be restored after denying Jesus Christ. Thomas needed visible, physical proof that Jesus had resurrected. The Apostle Paul needed to know that God's grace was sufficient to carry him through, even when God didn't choose to answer his prayer the way he wanted. And forevermore, there are times for us as believers that we need to understand that God's grace is sufficient, that he may not answer our prayers just exactly like we had prayed it or hoped, but the way God was going to work it out was going to be better. These times of refreshing come when the Lord shows up. They were life transforming. Just think. As Jesus wept over Jerusalem, and he looked into the future for them, he said, there's going to be a day that there's not one stone on top of the other here. And the reason is because you missed your day of visitation. Now just think that when Jesus showed up and people recognized the day of visitation, in many of those circumstances, it was life transforming, future transforming events that took place. When David killed Goliath, it changed the tide of the war. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the burning fiery furnace, and Jesus showed up, it changed their future. When Esther got the answer she needed from the Lord, and she got grace in the eyes of the king, the whole plot to destroy the Jews off the face of the earth was flipped on its head, and the people that were set out to kill the Jews were killed themselves. So what I'm saying is we have these moments, and I'm trying to make it where we don't diminish this, that there are days when God shows up in your life, that day God's intent is that it would transform things, that the way that it's going to go, if you don't change, if you don't recognize the day that Jesus showed up, because these times of refreshing come in the presence of the Lord. And there are decisions that are made in those moments that are going to determine, and this is what we need to get a hold of, the whole direction potentially of your future, of your family, of your kids. Just to ask you this question. What if 28 years ago, when the Lord showed up to call me to West Union, if I would have said no? Now, I'm not arrogant enough to presume that God needs me. He could have raised up another preacher. And I believe he would have, because Adams County needs churches like this right now. But where would I be? And what would my kids be doing? And how would my decision to miss, because Jesus is telling them the reason for the destruction that is coming. And we knew it was prophesied, because God knows all things in advance. But the reason this destruction is going to take place is because you missed the day of your visitation. Now, when you go back to Acts chapter 3, and we just need to bring this message to a close. You might say, well, that's awfully serious stuff then, isn't it, preacher? I mean, like, how serious is it? Just think. Jesus is walking down the street. The crowd is pressing in. Little Zacchaeus, he just wants to see Jesus. He climbs up in that sycamore tree, as the old kids' song sang. And Jesus looks up and he sees Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, come down, because today I must abide at your house. Just think. And if Zacchaeus would have went, nah, I'm good. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this healing of the lame man? Why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up. You guys delivered Jesus. You denied him in the presence of Pilate when he, Pilate, was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and you desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, amen, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, that's Jesus, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot not, or I know not, is what we would say in our culture today, that through ignorance, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted. This is the call. Listen, the greatest visit that God will ever make at your house, the door of your house, of your heart, is the day that he comes and he invites you to be saved. And if you would say the most life-transforming moment that sets the tone for the rest of your life is the day that you get saved, where we become a new creature in Jesus Christ. We become sons and daughters of God. We become joint heirs with Jesus Christ, where we have a home that's prepared for us, and we know for sure where we're going to go when we die. That the most life-transforming visitation of the Lord, that when these times of refreshing come, this is what he's talking about. When the times of refreshing come, and he's speaking mainly about salvation, because many of us were on that way, going away from God, living lives in rebellion to God, and the day that we got saved, it is repentance that has put our life on a whole different trajectory. And what would we have been? What would our family have been? What would our kids have been if we would have kept living that way? But the day that we heard the voice of God, when Jesus showed up to invite us to be saved, that decision we made in the moment has transformed our lives, our future, and the future for our family by the grace of God. And he's like, this is what I'm calling you to do. If you're here and you've never been saved, I'm asking you, in Acts chapter 3, verse number 19, would you be willing to repent, to have a change of heart and mind about the direction that you're going, and that you would be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that all those things that you have done in the past, they can all be blotted out, taken care of. All the sins that you're even going to commit in the future will all be blotted out, taken care of. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. Many of our audio messages are shortened due to time constraints. To view the full-length video version of our messages, check out Bible Baptist Church West Union on Facebook. You can also find out more information about our church by going to our website, hereshope.org. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And let my Jesus change your
wasted years until the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up.